The second reading for the last Sunday after Epiphany, the Transfiguration of our Lord, is found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled among those who are perishing. In the case of those people, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from clearly seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is God's image. Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder what it's like to see Jesus. As I showed the kids, artists have made countless renditions of what they thought Jesus looked like, and it may even vary from culture to culture, time period to time period. There's countless renditions. We even have some here on campus. But those are best guesses. They're what we think Jesus is going to look like. But what was it really like to see Jesus? What was it like to follow him on the dusty roads of Judea and Samaria and Galilee? What was it like to sit at his sandaled feet and listen as he explained how and why he had come to save us? What was it like to see thousands flock to him? What was it like to see him smile or hear him laugh? Surely he did those things too. What was it like to see Jesus transfigured in glory, to see our glorious Lord face to face? When the disciples witnessed that glory, it terrified them. They knew that no sinner could see the glory of the holy God and live. I mean, how terrified would you be if you saw the glory of God? Every time someone experiences it in God's word, it's kind of like Isaiah saying, "Woe is me, they're dead meat." We know we could not endure it because the darkness of sin lurks in our hearts. And yet the Apostle Paul helps us to see our glorious Lord without fear. Why? Because that glorious Lord is Jesus. Paul himself had once seen our glorious Lord. Years before our text, Paul had been an up-and-coming scholar among the Jews, doing his part to stop the followers of Jesus of Nazareth who claimed that this Jesus was actually the Messiah of God. He had official permission to hunt down Christians, not only in the areas where the Jews were common, but even to go to foreign cities and to arrest them or even approve of their death. Yet before he could do that, the glorified Jesus stopped Paul in his tracks, literally. The glorious Lord appeared to Paul and shattered the darkness of Paul's unbelief forever. Seeing his glorious Lord changed Paul's life forever. I mean, a few years later, that same glorious Lord was on Paul's mind once again as he was writing to his beloved yet troubled congregation in Corinth. See, some had risen up to challenge Paul's teaching. They wanted glory for themselves and their call to depend on your own efforts to earn God's glory and earn God's favor. They wanted to take the focus away from Christ. Now, Paul knew how much eternal damage could happen if he allowed that teaching to go on. He knew what that could do to the souls of God's people. It was up to him then, as God's spokesman, to unveil his glorious Lord to shatter the darkness of their unbelief. He wrote, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled among those who are perishing. In the case of those people, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from clearly seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is God's image." Before you can see the glory of Christ, you need to realize how complete the darkness of unbelief covers every heart, including yours. You know, if you ever visit Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky, it's quite impressive. It lives up to the name. It is Mammoth. It is a large cave. Very, very large. And you get to go on different tours there. And one of the tours, the guide takes you deep beneath the surface of the earth to a certain cavern where that tour guide then turns out the lights to show you how completely dark it is in there. I mean, you can wave your hand in front of your face and you can't see it. It is so absolutely dark in there because there is just an absence of light. The darkness is so thick. It's like being totally blind without not even getting a little bit of light shining through. If you don't know where you're going, though, in that total darkness, you could end up running into something. You could end up falling down a crevice. You could get hopelessly lost because the cave is mammoth. But such blindness, such thick, total, complete blindness is bright light compared to how blind we are by nature. From the moment we are conceived, we have no idea where we're going. We can get so hopelessly lost in sin's darkness that we stumble our way towards hell. What's even worse is that you and I actually want to be in that darkness. We actually enjoy that blindness. By nature, we enjoy sin's darkness and being hopelessly lost there. Paul tells us you were dead in your trespasses and sins. As we carried out the desires of the sinful flesh and its thoughts, like all the others, we were by nature objects of wrath. So how did God shatter the darkness of your sin and unbelief? How did he give you sight in the midst of your natural blindness? For the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. With a mere word from his mouth, God scattered the total darkness that existed before creation. In an even greater way, God scattered your spiritual darkness with the glorious light of Christ. Jesus knew how thick and terrible the darkness of this world is around you and within you. So he came into your darkness. He stepped into your darkness. He came into your darkness as God's glorious light. Now, if you had seen Jesus when he walked the earth, you would have probably seen him much as Peter and James and John and all the other disciples in the crowd saw Jesus. Sure, they saw Jesus as the teacher, as the healer, even the Messiah. But he looked like any other human being. It was easy to see Jesus as a human being. His glory wasn't so apparent, but that glory was always present within him. It was with Jesus the entire time. And we've seen some of those glimpses of our glorious Lord in the past, during Christmas and during this Epiphany season. You've seen it in a lowly manger in a Bethlehem stable when a tiny baby came to save you. You've seen it in the backwater town of Nazareth as a perfect child obeyed his parents and his heavenly Father. You've seen it on the shores of Galilee as the God-man taught with an unsurpassed divine authority and with glorious miracles of healing and help. You also saw it a few minutes ago with Peter, James, and John. You followed a mountain where Jesus pulled back the veil to briefly reveal his true glory. You saw the ancient prophets Moses and Elijah there on either side of him speaking with him, not about how he was going to conquer the earth, but about his suffering and death that was to come. For those disciples in that moment who had only seen Jesus as a human being, it was a terrifying sight, but Jesus didn't reveal his glory to impress or terrify them or to impress or terrify you. No, he revealed that glory to shatter the darkness of doubt and unbelief that covers your heart and mine. As with those disciples, Jesus wanted you to get one more glimpse of his true glory to prepare you for the greater glory to come. You see, his greater glory comes in the shame of a cross. At first glance, that doesn't make any sense at all. A cross is an object of death. Now, we're used to seeing it in our churches or wearing it around our necks or having it on our church furnishings or having one in our home. But the fact is, it was a means of executing people, of ending lives. Yet in that shame and death that Jesus experienced on the cross, we see the indescribable love glorious Lord for us. We see the glory of God in Christ's suffering and death as he takes the darkness of sin and guilt into himself. The light of the world takes all of that darkness into himself. And then we see the glory of God in an empty tomb where the darkness of death is nowhere to be found because the glorious light of a living Savior could not be destroyed. Now you might wonder, I see all that about my glorious Lord, but man, I still wish I could see him face to face. Now, friends, I do too. But as I showed the kids, to see Jesus, we need look no further than his word. We live in a dark world that wants to live in sin's darkness. Each of us lives with a blind, sinful nature that wants nothing more than to gratify our sinful cravings. We daily have to face the God of this age, Satan, who wants nothing else than to continue the global pandemic of spiritual blindness. He wants to turn you back to unbelief and rob you of spiritual sight now and forever. He wants to lull you into the comfortable security of self-righteousness or push you to the brink of despair. He doesn't want the light of Christ to give you anything. He doesn't want Christ to give you sight, to open your eyes. No, he wants you to spend eternity in darkness with him. So Satan keeps the minds of unbelievers blind and even gets the better of you and me. He tries to make it as difficult as possible for us to see the glory of Christ, and how often do things look dim and dark to us. Yet the God of this age doesn't realize he cannot overpower the glory of God in his word. When your heart hurts with guilt, and your eyes have trouble seeing past it, is there anything more beautiful than the sweet words, Jesus forgives all of your sins, even that one? When your mind is filled with terror at the angry judge or filled with fear at the dark specter of death, is there anything more glorious than the smiling face of your gracious Savior Jesus, smiling at you off the pages of Scripture with promise after promise, guarantee after guarantee in blood? But where do we find these glorious images? We don't find them in some artist's rendition, and there are so many beautiful ones out there. But right here in the Word of God, here Jesus gives you a glimpse of the saving glory of God and his beautiful light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Here, Jesus shatters the darkness that covers you so you can see his glory in all of its beauty. Yes, it's true. You may not see Jesus face to face physically, at least not on this side of heaven, but you do see him on the pages of Scripture. It's a brilliant and glorious light. A brilliant and glorious sight that displays new beauty at every different angle. I mean, here you see the brilliance of the babe of Bethlehem. There you see the glory of the Lamb of God. Over here you see the beauty of the suffering servant or the risen Redeemer. On every page of Scripture, you see your glorious Lord, and just like Paul, it changes your life forever. Suddenly you can see clearly. You can see your Savior's face, and you know he will not leave you blind in the darkness anymore. You see that glory, but that glory is not just for you yourself. That's something you tuck away and hide away in some safe place in your home or heart. Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, Paul tells us. The same Lord who shattered your spiritual darkness now gives you his light to share with those still living in darkness. Through that good news, Christ destroys Satan's dark hold on the lives of people like us so others can see their Savior too. So others can see our glorious Lord too. Here on the pages of Scripture, we come face to face with our glorious Lord. But one day we will come face to face with our glorious Lord in heaven. Dressed in a robe made white with the blood of the Lamb, we will live in the saving glory of God's grace forever. We will no longer wonder what it's like to see Jesus. we will know. And you won't be terrified. You won't be confused. You won't misunderstand. No, with all the hosts of heaven, we will see Jesus clearly with our own eyes, and we will bask in the glory of His grace for all eternity. What a glorious heavenly sight that will be when we see Jesus face to face. Amen.